There's a verse that I would use tonight. It's the verse in Psalm 18. It's a verse 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Again, it's just maybe the first part of the verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength. I'm very glad to be here tonight, glad of the opportunity to come and share with you tonight in a word of testimony. I would like to thank the minister as well, who we know a long, long time, maybe even from his days when he was in the Whitfield, we're not sure. I would like actually to thank him for his interest in me. I had an accident a number of years ago, which I'll be referring to. He came down to visit me as well at that time. So I am glad to be here tonight and appreciate the invitation to be here. He was not aware of this, but this night exactly, 43 years ago, is the night when I got saved. It happened to be the 31st of March, but this is the night, Sunday night, is the night that I put my trust in the Saviour. And I can say with the words of the hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. There was a person who also once said that to become a Christian is the work of a moment, but learning to depend on God is the work of a lifetime. And how true that is. The day we get saved, it happens immediately. But we're still learning, you know. I know I am, as an individual. And just a work in progress. I often thought of the words of the hymn that I sang, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And that's been my experience, where I have tried to handle the problem and wasn't able to. And then I have then went to pray to God afterwards. And so how true that is in my life. I want to be accurate tonight, and I want to be open and honest in everything that I have to say. And I'd like to thank the Lord for his hand upon me, the protecting hand of the Lord, the saving hand of the Lord, and the healing hand of the Lord. Born on the 20th of May, 1959. Now, you can work this out. I was saved at 14, so I'm 57, just in case you're wondering. But I was born in the Carlton home, which was the days before the hospital, but it's now apartments. Lived out the Moy Road, out of Portadown. Moved in into Corcoran Housing Estate and attended the Hart Memorial and Clowness Schools. I was one of three boys, one older and one younger. I always basically say I was the filling in the middle of the sandwich, but we were all sort of treated the same. As a boy, I went to Sunday school. That was in the Methodist Church in Epworth. Was in the Life Boys and was in the BB, and had a good Sunday school teacher who then later on became my insurance man. His name would be Derek Laverty, who would be known to folk, a Christian man. And even though I was young and probably wasn't paying a lot of attention to what was being said, you just knew that he was a Christian. You just knew by everything that he done and said. Heard the gospel in the home of a man, again, I'm just mentioning these names, Mr. Harry Edgar. Now, Harry Edgar went originally to Lurgan Baptist, and he also handled the tape ministry. And the tapes went out all over the world because he was a well-known evangelist by the name of Pastor Mullen, as everybody's aware of, and he handled the tapes. We used to go to meetings in his home. I remember getting the wee rubbers and the sharpeners and the pencils, and all of that type of thing. We also We also went to meetings in a hall down in the housing estate. Remember a man by the name of Kenneth Martin, I think it was maybe CEF, heard the gospel as a child, probably heard it as well in church, I'm sure I did, but due to lack of interest that I had at that time, I probably don't remember an awful lot about it. I would describe myself in my early years as a boy who was easy led, ran with the crowd, and that led me into doing things that I'm not proud of and would make me cringe this evening, actually, when I think of them. And I don't want to go into those things, but we were all young one time and we all have a past and we were all involved in things that we're ashamed of. All of this, however, was to change one evening when I met a guy that is now one of our elders, and the name would be Philip Haffey. Even though he was running about after girls, he took the time to invite me to a meeting in the Orange Hall. That was the Orange Hall back in the early days, which would be Cork Rain Orange Hall, and that was back in 1973, and that's where the meetings were held in the early days of the Free Church. It was there that I heard the gospel preached, even though I had probably heard the gospel, but it was there that I heard the gospel preached by the Reverend Elliot, as I had never heard it before, because it was preached with power. I can always say, or I always say, that there is three things that drew me back over and over again to the meetings. Number one was the message of the gospel, the clear message of the gospel. Lively hymn singing. Anybody that knows me, I mightn't be able to sing that well, but I like to sing. In fact, I'll just break off there and say, I was in a meeting one night and I had sang and I was walking out through the door and a lady says to me, "You have a queer taste for it." And I was feeling good. And then she says, "It's a pity you couldn't sing." But she didn't really. I'm only sharing that as a joke. I'd have been very embarrassed if she had. But I really enjoyed the lively hymn singing. And then the friendliness of the people as well, which I hope we'll never lose any of those three things. There was also another reason as well to go back, as I had my eye on a wee girl. She was only 13, but she was to become my wife, and she'll be embarrassed now, and we will be married. Am I right, June? 37 years. No, I am right. 37 years on April the 5th, which is Wednesday. So hope you're getting me a card. So I had another reason to go back, but I have to say that I can truly say that God has been so good to us through the good times and through the hard times. We have known the promise of God where he says, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He has also blessed us with three lovely children and four adorable grandchildren who we pray will all be led one day to the Lord. I want to bring you back to the 31st of March 1974, for it was at one of these meetings where I gave my life to the Lord. The Reverend Elliot had to leave early that night, and it was one of our elders who I hold in high esteem, Mr. Wolsey Smith, and he brought me into a little room. I can remember the room so well because it was one of those rooms where you just discard everything that's old and broken. And I remember the broken heads off the lambeg drums. I remember the broken chairs. And it was in that wee room where we just knelt. And Wolsey opened the Bible. And the verse that I have in mind would be Romans 10 and 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that night I passed from death unto life. I only wish that I could say that all went well from therein. But the sad part of the testimony is that at some stage I started doing the same things as before. And I started leading a double life. I pretended to be something different on a Sunday to what I was during the week. I was really a hypocrite. And yet I still liked the meetings and enjoyed the company of other Christians. Isn't that strange, in a sense, that you could love the meetings and yet know that your heart wasn't right with God? There's reasons for it, and I will try and explain that later on. But I'm glad that the Lord was patient with me. And even when I slipped and I fell, he was there to lift me up again. Maybe you're like that tonight. Maybe there's a young person that trying their best, and yet the draw and the pull of the world is there. It's very difficult to resist. I mentioned earlier on that I was easy led, and so I was. I liked to be with the crowd, and I was also going to school, one of the hardest times for young people, and a young person even harder today than it was then. I'd ask you to turn to a wee verse, please, if you would. If you turn to Genesis 39, a wonderful story with regards to Joseph. And this is just a wee warning tonight to young people, or maybe just a wee bit of advice rather than a warning. And I just happened to read this today. And this is whenever he was invited maybe to get involved in sin. And this was the wife of another man with regards to Potiphar. And you know, there was actually three things that he'd done. If you look at the verse number 8, whenever he was invited to sin, it says, but he refused. And then in verse number 9, he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He resisted. And then down in the verse number 12, at the end of it, you'll just read the words, and fled. He ran away from sin. And you know, young people, it's if you're going to do it half-heartedly, and you're trying not to sin, and yet you want to sin, you've got to run away from it. You've got to really flee the temptation. Everybody has temptations in life, you know, every one of us. And that's where I wanted to be honest tonight and to say that we all have things that we can be tempted with. But we just need to pray and to read the Word of God. That was another thing that I was slack in. Maybe read my Bible, but wasn't reading my Bible the way I would read it now. And another wee thing I would say to young people, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, brother, but it's just at times maybe we're advised from the pulpit, and it's nice to read the whole Bible, which I have done, and maybe read three chapters and that. But, you know, at times maybe as a young person that can be difficult. I would ask you to take a word from the Bible. Take a line from the Bible. A verse from the Bible. Just a few verses. Because it's the content of what you read and remember and apply, and you know, to your heart, that really, really matters. So it's important that we read the Bible and to pray. I don't know when, at what point, I honestly don't, where I wised up, but I remember when I began to pray for my family. You see, I was the only one in the family that was saved. In fact, my mum and dad weren't all that keen at the particular time that I went to the Free Church. But I remember praying, and one by one, the Lord saved them. Mum and dad actually knelt in their own home, actually together. The Reverend Elliot was there and led them, you know, to the Lord. I have a brother who has been in Ivory Coast now. You've heard his name, Paul. And he has been a missionary in West Africa now for a very, very long time. The Lord blessed their family. I'd ask you to pray for my mum and dad as well. They had to go into care home just at the end of last year, but they're doing well. I'm glad that I had the privilege of being involved in the work in the early days in Bethany. I can remember back in 1975 to 1985, where many hundreds of people were saved. That, and that's not, you know, exaggerated. That's a fact. Many hundreds of people were saved under the Reverend Elliot's ministry. Times where they had to move out of the prayer meeting into the bus because they needed the rooms for Sunday schools. Remembers having the double-decker bus and three other buses which were packed with children. Those are days that I'll not forget because the Lord moved mightily among us. Only reason why I mention that is we have the same longing today as we had then, or we should have, that the Lord would come in mighty revival again amongst us, that we would see a move of God again. I would like to tell you about how God was with me. After an accident that I had on the 10th of May 2011, I have an office with the business. The roof had blew off it. And I don't know whether I was half on the roof or on the roof, I don't remember. But I fell and I broke four ribs. I broke my collarbone and ended up with a fractured skull, which resulted in a clot. The ambulance was there for an hour. They didn't know where my injuries was. I had wedged in behind the office on a wall and I'd done a lot of damage to myself, and they weren't sure actually what to do with me. But so I ended up in the hospital locally and then moved to the Royal Victoria Hospital. But the clot cleared in time, thankfully. I got home in a number of days later. Remember a few weeks after the accident where I had this strange smell. In fact, I said to June, my wife, I was only out of the shower and I was smelling my hands and it was like a smell of the shampoo. I said, June, that shampoo's off. She says, you don't get shampoo going off. And then when I ate my food, it was unpleasant. It was like a metallic taste in my mouth. It just wasn't nice, and it was hard to cope with because I suppose I'm not any different than any other man. I like my food, and it was difficult and hard to cope with. I remember an appointment was made at the Ulster Clinic with a doctor, Dr. Forbes, a neurologist. And he explained that when I fell and hit my head, I had damaged the, you think I knew all these words, I don't, olfactory nerves, which is the nerves at the base of the nose. And he said the damage would be permanent, that basically that's the way it would be. Well, whenever I heard that, I have to be honest, it was difficult to take the news. I couldn't stand the smell in the kitchen. I couldn't stand the smell of coffee. I remember being at a wedding just a month afterwards, and I was sitting and the lady was watching me because I was just leaving the food to one side, and she must have been saying, is that a man or a mouse or what is that? But when she heard my story, she was very sympathetic. But it was getting me down, so I have an office, and I handed the keys to my wife one day and I said, listen, I'm going to take myself off. And I went out to the Balancing Lakes. And I have to say this evening that I just walked and cried and prayed unto God to either remove the problem, which was unpleasant, with the smell and the taste, or that he would give me the grace just to bear it as it was getting me down and I couldn't cope anymore. But this evening I can say openly and honestly, testify tonight, that on that morning it's like as if the burden was in this hand and it was over into God's hand. For immediately when I prayed, and you know when you're in desperation and we pray ordinary and yet we pray sometimes when we were really in a need, and I prayed that day and he gave me the grace there and there, and I come back a different person. I feel that I was prepared to cope with it, and I was prepared to manage it. And if you're here tonight and you're going through a hard time, I would say leave the burden with the Lord. It's easy to say that, but I mean it sincerely. He's able to help you through in any situation of life. So leave the burden with the Lord. I have to say tonight, and I'm glad to be able to say it, that all of my smell and all of my taste has all returned. And when I go out now and eat a steak, it's like a steak. So he really did heal me, and he answered my prayer. So this evening I'm thankful that I have proved his hand of mercy, his hand of grace, and his hand of healing upon me. I just want to leave a wee verse with you. If you could turn to it, please, if I'm not holding up time. It's the most well-known verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. It has been described as the gospel in a nutshell. I remember hearing one night a preacher who was Harold Paisley, had a mission on the Armagh Road, 25 golden words is the way he described it. And he said that there was 12 about God, the Son in the middle, and 12 about me. So we could maybe read the verse, and it's, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." That's the 12. We have the Son in the middle. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just want you to follow me with this, and it's just a few thoughts that I want to share with you. Number one, the greatest demonstration of love ever seen. For God so loved the world. And you know, that includes you tonight. You might be in the meeting and you might say, nobody loves me. But God loves you, because he has it clearly in this verse. For God so loved the world. Greatest demonstration of love ever seen. The greatest gift ever given. That he gave his only begotten Son. And you know, he gave him to die for you. There's a lovely verse that says, "He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The greatest gift ever given, he gave his only Son. The greatest invitation ever extended, that whosoever believeth in him. And you know, that means anyone. The night I was saved, for the verse that was used, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The greatest invitation ever extended, whosoever believeth in him. The greatest tragedy ever averted, should not perish. And you know, the opposite is perish. Even though this is a verse of love, this is a verse that mentions should not perish, which means that those who don't become Christians, those who don't get saved, sadly will perish. So there's a warning in the verse as well as love in the verse. The greatest tragedy ever averted. And lastly, the greatest promise ever made, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't it the greatest promise that we could ever have? So I would ask you to take this on board tonight. The work of Christ on the cross is completed. So I would ask you tonight, to urge you, just please, to put your trust in him. Thank you.